Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Superman, Batman, Public Enemies.
Yep, we are.
So, Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, which I keep on trying to call Batman Superman because of the live-action film. Superman, Batman, Public Enemies is based on the story arc Public Enemies in the Superman, Batman comic series, wrote by Jeb Loeb and Ed McGuinness. The film is directed by Sam Liu. I believe this is the first time he directs, which... He's probably the most prominent director in the remaining films we'll be covering.
Okay, so this is like the start of his reign.
Yes. And unlike Green Lantern and Wonder Woman, where there is a sort of a base of sort of backstory and origins, this film kind of jumps straight into... Right, you know who Superman is, you know who Batman is, you know who Lex Luthor is.
Yeah, I like that. I appreciate not having to be told who they all are each time.
And on top of that, they're also... It's the DC Animated Universe television show voice cast for the main three characters. So it's Tim Daly as... No, it says here Clark Kent Superman... But it's Superman. I don't think you actually see Clark Kent in this film.
No, you definitely don't.
Kevin Conroy is performing as Batman because anytime it's someone else, it's wrong. And Clancy Brown is back as Lex Luthor.
It's very good.
And it's also the same voice actress as the animated series for Amanda Waller as well.
Okay.
Which is good, because I think she's a fabulous actress, and she plays Amanda Waller fantastically.
Yeah, no, she's really good. She's not in it a huge amount, but she's really good.
Yeah. So, we start with opening credits, which are worryingly prescient in terms of...
I know, right?
There's an economic crash, everything's going bad, and... Oh, look, the benevolent billionaire has become president.
Well, the not-so-benevolent billionaire. Yeah, but, you know, they talk about buying elections.
They talk about, like, there's big on the streets, there's riots.
Yeah, it did feel very topical.
Yeah. All we needed was Lex Luthor complaining about mail-in ballots and we'd be right at home.
I mean, like, we, you know, not that we want to get political, but yes.
Yes. Yes, the American election where the options are the crazy Republican Party and the moderate Republican Party.
It's such a British joke, but yet so true.
So, we also see that Lex Luthor, who, in this version of the story, Lex Luthor isn't a little bit suspicious of Superman. He's just like... All superheroes are bad.
Yes.
Except if I'm paying them, in which case they're okay. So he...
Basically they're all bad unless I control them.
Yes. So he employs five superheroes.
Yes.
Who are Kitana, who I think this is the first time she's appeared.
Yeah, I don't
see her before.
Not that we get any character... developmental growth or dialogue. Major Force, who I've never heard of before.
I've heard of, but I don't know anything about him.
Black Lightning, who I've seen some of the CW show, but otherwise haven't really had much experience with him.
Same.
And the two characters that are actually taken in any way seriously and treated as characters of these five, the Atom... and Power Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just so I'm clear on this, is Power Girl Kryptonian? Is she...
I don't know her background. I just know she has the boob window.
Yes. Because that's...
In every iteration.
Because I know that there's some sort of link between her and Kara Zor-El.
I think she's...
Supergirl.
Yeah, I think she's from another universe.
Right, okay.
So I think she... Yeah,
we're,
I don't
we're
really
a couple
know.
Of episodes I think early she's... for Crisis on Two Earths, but okay.
Yeah, I think she's from another universe and gets stuck in ours, but she's mostly famous for the boob window.
Yes.
For obvious reasons. She's because kind of... when people are criticizing it as a general female costuming, I think she's the one that's always kept it. So
yeah,
she's the easiest example to grab. Yeah.
It's the easy go-to. It's like fridging. It's like, look, yeah, there you go. And I've got to say,
yeah,
I think one of my... Because I ended up kind of live commenting a wee bit when I was watching it and going, was this Power Girl designed in the MK universe?
I mean, it does feel that way.
So we then cut to the opening credits, which are fairly good. I thought they were quite good.
They caught my attention.
So we then open with, I'm assuming a few months later, where Superman stops a chase.
Yeah, he picks up a car, does his traditional
pick
up a car.
He's met by the Atom, Power Girl, and Major Force, who are going, you have to admit it, Lex has done a good job, he's settled everything down.
It's a bit weird that they come and, like, they just randomly come and say that, like...
Yeah.
Okay. But it's quite funny, yeah, they're like, yeah, you know, not much crime for you to solve anymore, as if Superman looks sad about that. He's just like, all right.
Yeah.
And they're a bit passive-aggressive, basically, you know.
And Superman's kind of going, it's Lex. He's up to something. He's always up to something. He's Lex.
Yeah. He's not an idiot.
I actually quite like this animation style as well. I think it's quite generic, but it's good-looking, I think.
I don't mind the animation style. I didn't love all the voices, but
yeah.
I didn't hate them either. So, but they didn't stand out as they're so good. They're a bit flat.
Why?
In other words, to me.
The only.
But that might be the dialogue as well.
Yeah, yeah. There is dialogue that is written.
Yeah, it's very basic and mostly expositionary.
So we cut to Lex Luthor and Amanda Waller. If you don't know who Amanda Waller is, good luck finding out. So, because I remember the first time, because I watched this round about the time it came out, and I didn't know who Amanda Waller was at the time. I'll be honest, I hadn't even heard of the Suicide Squad by that point.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really come up in this, so why would you?
Yeah. Luthor and Amanda Waller find out that there is a kryptonite meteor, and they make very clear it's a kryptonite meteor. It is from Krypton. It is heading for Earth. It's going to hit the Earth in 7 days.
So there's your timeline.
And Lex Luthor decides, yeah, I'm just going to fire missiles at it. And that will...
Yeah.
That will destroy... Because... Firing missiles at a meteor doesn't make it into hundreds of smaller meteors that cover a larger area. It sorts the problem out.
Unless you're in a cartoon, when it might.
I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's stupid logic, but they have to sort of move it along.
And it's not only that, it's like, at this point they're going, superheroes. You have people... With superpowers.
Yeah, get them to do it.
Get them to do it. Lex Luthor eventually goes, fine, I'll talk to Superman. And we open in the Batcave. Again, if you're going into this with no knowledge of who Superman or Batman are, good luck. Because we open in the Batcave with Superman watching Lex offering to bury the hatchet.
Yeah, they're chilling together, the besties.
And Batman's just going, he's not lying about the meteor. Don't meet him, but he's not lying about the meteor.
Yeah, don't meet him, but he's right about one thing.
Yeah. He's a broken clock. Superman goes to the meeting anyway.
Well, he's Superman. He thinks he's kind of invincible.
So, I'm assuming they're meeting in Gotham? Because I don't think I don't think a sewer system connects Metropolis to Gotham.
No, that would be too far.
That would be unrealistic. In this,
yeah, we could not have that.
And Superman. Yeah, I know. So, Luthor meets with Superman and goes, "Yeah, I'm going to fire nuclear weapons at it. I mean, it's irradiated already, so it doesn't. We don't have to worry about more radiation when it breaks into millions of pieces."
Mm-hmm. He just wants to do it. He's basically just saying, "I want to do this, and I'm going to do it."
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, I mean, there's no real defense to his theory.
Well, it becomes clear that maybe he's not in the most rational mindset, as we find out later. So, meanwhile, Superman is feeling a bit woozy, because it turns out that one of Lex's guards is Metallo. Superman gets angry, grabs Luthor, which he does for no discernible reason. There's no reason for him to grab Luthor. Other than, do you want to pick a fight with Lex Luthor and make yourself look bad by attacking the president?
I mean, he does seem to.
We have Luthor runs off as Superman and Metallo fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a fairly good fight. It's kind of down this line of Superman is able to do massive damage that Metallo is able to recover from, and Superman can't recover from the damage Metallo is doing to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like...
We've not seen Metallo before, right?
We've not seen Metallo as Metallo. We have seen him as... in his human form, voiced by Malcolm McDowell.
Okay, because I was a bit like, am I supposed to know what he can do? But his name's Metallo, I kind of guessed.
He's effectively... All you need to know is he's a robot man with a kryptonite heart.
Okay.
So... I think the next story that he's a major factor in is Justice League.
I didn't know if they'd shoved that in him. Okay.
He's quite prominent in that as well. But he was, as I said, he was in the 3 episodes of Superman the Animated Series we covered, like the opening 3. He was the terrorist who was working with Luthor.
Okay.
And then he got irradiated and he basically had to get a robot body.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds very comic booky, but fine.
Yeah.
I can handle that as a
origin.
I just wasn't sure if it was somebody
who's already a bit... I didn't know if he always...
Kryptonite there.
Yeah, I think he's... Because I think he is one of the biggest Superman... villains, though, you'd probably have to ask
he
Connor.
He definitely is. I've definitely heard of him. I'll ask Connor for sure.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely heard of him, and I wasn't entirely sure. When they revealed that, I was like, oh, I didn't know if they'd replaced it for that, or if it was always like that. So that's my question. But sorry, I deflected
I'll be honest.
Just to show I was actually paying attention to
My understanding of Metallo comes from 3 animated movies I've seen them in. So the fight ends up in a graveyard. Just as Metallo has Superman in his grip, a wild Batman appears.
Yeah, he really does.
And at one point, Batman manages to rip a shard of kryptonite off, which Metallo then shoots Superman with. So Superman has a bit of kryptonite buried in his chest.
Yeah.
And effectively the fight ends with Batman and Superman being buried in a grave.
Mm-hmm.
And they blow up underneath them so that they can escape to the sewers. And Metallo...
Yeah, this is why the sewers are important, you see.
Yes. And Metallo, who... Basically, Batman strapped two explosives to him, which doesn't destroy him, but puts his parts everywhere. So as he's reforming, they escape.
Puts his parts everywhere. Just made me laugh.
So, Metallo then sees a shadowy figure and goes, "Oh, it's you." Meanwhile, two very injured and sore boys carry each other out of across the sewers to Wayne Manor.
Yep.
Which I'm sure having a hole with a bit of kryptonite hanging out of it does not let any germs into Superman.
Yeah, no, none at all. I like that, yeah, it was cool.
I did like the fact that the only thing I do like about this version of the story is it's nice to actually see Superman and Batman actually get on.
Like, yeah, no, I really...
banter between them.
Say about, yeah, anything else I have to say about the film, they get on. They're actual, clearly friends. There's no, like, snarky. It's just like they act like people who know each other really well and act well together. Yeah, but like that kind of, but that's what I mean, that kind of friendly snark, not actual you suck kind of snark.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's like that kind of friendly banter, I'd say, rather than snark.
So they are greeted by a shotgun wielding Alfred.
Bless him.
Which, even in like the 2 minute cameo he has, Alfred is the MVP because apparently he's able to fix Kryptonian suits.
Look, Alfred is always the MVP.
Yes, though I will be interested to see an Andy Serkis one.
Yeah, I'm. Hey, it looks good.
Yeah.
I'm very into it. We're very into it.
Just for reference, we're recording the week after Fandome.
Yeah.
Where we found out that Alan is not getting the Battle for the Cal video game he wanted.
Oh, because they all suck. The video games look stupid. The rest look good. And, you know, I don't know when you're putting this up, but
It'll be three weeks' time.
Yeah, so just after the next set of Fandome. So if we don't refer to any of the other stuff, that's because we haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. Oh, it was the second week of Fandome.
Yeah. They split it into two
halves so that all the film,
I guess, game stuff would be in the first half. So all the TV stuff and right. The Superman panel, so relevant to the DCAU.
Right, okay.
Has been moved to the 12th of September.
Right. So is this
possibly
space...
if anything good's announced, we could do a mini episode.
Yeah. So is this going to be and on the CW this and on the CW? Because it'll all be CW and HBO Plus now, won't it?
Yeah. My God knows what it is here. Yeah. I imagine that's exactly what it's going to be. A lot of then this and then this. It'll be interesting. Like Connor Seltz for the Man of Tomorrow panel because they put it online. I put it on our website, on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to see it, for some reason, well, that one wasn't actually part of Fandome yet. That's going to be on the 12th of September one, but I think because the film was released, they've put it up.
Right, okay.
And then for anyone interested, Connor said he thought there might be potential spoilers in the panel, so watch the film first if you're going to. But yeah, if you're going to. But I think mine is spoilers.
It's nice they're doing
so.
Something with Superman.
He said it was really good. Or when I say really good, he's going to tell me off. He said it was good.
Yeah.
Like,
but I mean, so, I know that was something. Like, the one criticism is outside the Toxic Avengers, aka the Snyder Cut.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing else involved. Well, There is a 10-second thing in the Suicide video game trailer.
Where you get to kill him.
Well, try.
Yes, I mean, it is Suicide Squad versus the Justice League. That's not a spoiler.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Well, I'm assuming it's a Brainiac-controlled Justice League.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah.
But who knows with their record, so...
Now, the one thing I do know is apparently this game is meant to be canon with the Arkham games.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that Deadshot has apparently spontaneously changed race. Or it's a different Deadshot.
Okay, interesting.
So... I'm not saying that as a criticism, I'm just pointing out it's very clearly indicated in the Arkham series that in the Arkham series Deadshot's white and now he's not. So unless it's a second Deadshot.
Yeah.
Ah, kids, who needs consistency?
I mean, like, to be fair, these days they play around with gender and race a lot just to get better representation, so.
And maybe it's just they want someone who looks like Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can understand. So, anyway, getting back to the film. So, whilst Alfred's going, I fixed your suit for you, Lex is accusing Superman of killing Metallo. There is a video of the very crispy corpse, and it's indicated...
Mm-hmm. It is a very crispy corpse.
They edit the video to kind of imply that it's Superman's heat vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're basically, it's a clear and utter setup.
Uh-huh. And they're going... We think the kryptonite from the meteor might be affecting Superman's mind. And
so look, there's even some deep state fake news.
Yeah, there's even fake news, exactly. And there is a $1 billion bounty on Superman.
And he does it in true supervillain, $1 billion for.
And he's also... It's this ironic thing of he's talking about irresponsibility and powers, and then you see immediately after everyone left, he goes, I need those delicious drugs.
Yeah.
And before he's able to take his delicious, delicious green glowing drugs, Power Girl comes in and goes, Superman's innocent. And that
because she has some integrity, despite the boob window.
Yes. Indeed. So, meanwhile, Superman and Batman are breaking into Star Labs. Before they're able to find out what's the information they need about the meteor, Superman goes off because he smells a crispy, crispy corpse. And they find Metallo's body and are able to go, if they're saying that Superman killed Metallo, why is his body now giving off radioactivity? Because Superman's laser vision is not radioactive.
Yes.
Which is news to me. I would have thought it would have been, but... I don't know. I'm going for a bit of a Godzilla kick at the moment, so I'm just like, no, everything's radioactive.
The films or?
The films, yeah.
Nice. I had my period of Godzilla films.
Yes.
Not that I'm saying that I've got out of it. I'm just saying I did have a period where I watched them all a lot.
Good, and, because there is a point where we're going to run out of DC films, so who knows. Why not? So, unfortunately for our heroes, they get attacked by... I've actually got the list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 23 villains.
It's a lot of them.
Which is kind of, it's kind of a burial for the... Look, these are all... Look, several of these villains are like ones that would be are meant to be taken seriously over the course of a film, and they're just all thrown in, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, well, they're all after the $1 billion.
Yep. So just to list them, Silver Banshee, who I think this is the first time she's appeared.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's the first time most of them appeared, but carry on.
Captain Cold, who's been on New Frontier. Icicle, who I've never heard of.
Me neither, but I like the name.
Killer Frost.
Kind of
want
to know Icicle. Yeah, yeah. We've seen her on CW.
Yeah, we've seen her on CW. I think she appears a lot more in... She appears in the two Suicide Squad movies we are going to watch. Both times
right.
voiced by Jennifer Hale as well, which she is here. Both times with actual clothes instead of a catsuit. Mr. Freeze, who we... Well, he was the main villain of a film we saw. Grodd, who... Gorilla Grodd was controlling Mongol and Solomon Grundy, so... Because we get a very intelligent Solomon Grundy. It's jarring.
Yeah, it is.
We also get Bane, Black Manta, Black Spider, Brimstone, Catman, Cheetah, Copperhead, Deadshot, Despero, Giganta, King Shark, Lady Shiva, Mongol, Captain Boomerang, Kestrel, Nightshade, and, as we mentioned, Solomon Grundy.
To be honest, I only really paid attention to King Shark.
Yeah. A lot more people are paying attention to King Shark now. It's almost like they've finally got the CGI to make him look decent.
Well, I think, like, first of all, he was in the one that was recent, the one with John Constantine, where he was John Constantine's boyfriend.
Well, there's that. He's been in the CW Flash.
Yeah, and now is it going to be in the new Suicide Squad film? So I think, like...
Yeah.
But what I mean is I think the one with Constantine got so much press.
Yeah.
That it's just, you know, like... obviously I've heard of the other... You know, I know the other heroes. He wasn't really the only one. But yeah, he's just got a lot of press lately, and then with the Suicide Squad film as well.
What happens is it eventually gets to the point where Superman and Batman are surrounded by villains. Thankfully, Atom is able to blast them all away.
Yes.
He, along with Power Girl, Major Force, Black Lightning, and Starfire, who randomly appeared, and joined the Lufa side.
Yep, which is weird.
A little weird, I was like.
Yep. And they then chase all the villains off and then go, "We're bringing you in, Superman."
Yeah.
Whilst this is happening, Lex is flying over to a base with Waller, apparently suffering some headaches.
Yes, unsurprising.
And it becomes very clear as the supervillains are as the superheroes are fighting Batman and Superman that one of these superheroes is not trying to arrest Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Major Force is trying to kill him.
Like flat out trying to kill him.
Yeah. So Superman creates a red tornado. There's a reference. And saves Power Girl and Batman. Because Power Girl at one point warns Superman that he's going to get shot.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the generals are going to Lex. Lex, we don't think the missiles are going to work. You need to get a superhero. To which Lex goes, "Nonsense, I did the calculations myself." So we cut to Power Girl talking to Superman and Batman on top of the Daily Planet.
Mm-hmm.
and they then get attacked by the remaining heroes, during which time Batman ends up fighting Major Force, and you actually see Batman is starting to realize, oh, I'm going to taunt Major Force into admitting he killed Metallo.
Yeah, because then I'll be off the hook.
And unfortunately, what he doesn't factor in is that there is a superpowered person who doesn't realize what he's doing and punches Major Force so hard she ruptures his suit. So Power Girl... Yeah,
it's quite funny.
Yeah. You actually see like, Superman going, no, he's getting him to confess! Shut up! But it's too late. Black Lightning tries to contain the radiation before eventually Atom absorbs the radiation, which severely injures him.
Yeah, really hurts him.
And unsurprisingly kills Major Force.
I wasn't too sorry about that, though.
Nope.
I felt there was no mourning in me. I was like, I don't care. I don't know who you are, really.
Yeah.
And you pitched in with Luthor a bit too fast, so you're already a baddie. So
exactly.
Okay, bye.
Whilst this is happening, the missiles are fired at the meteor.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and I didn't realise that this was a thing, the meteor is so radioactive it detonates the warheads before they actually hit the meteor.
Yeah, that was kind of, I don't know if that's true,
if that would happen or not, but it was kind of funny. It was kind of weird.
Such radioactivity! So, meanwhile, Lex is taking his kryptonite drugs.
He's like injecting himself with pure kryptonite.
Well, I don't think it's... I think he actually says it's... He says later that it's basically... It's a supplement. It's like a cocktail of drugs with some kryptonite just because.
I mean, like, so not only have we got a dodgy president who could have bought it, like, protests in America or whatever before he got in. Now he's, like, using dodgy cures.
Dodgy cures that have no basis in actual science.
A president would never do that.
That's ridiculous. No, he wouldn't. I know. He wouldn't tell you to inject dangerous chemicals that could kill you.
Only in a
cartoon, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, bleach doesn't glow green, to be fair.
Well, but he'd probably inject it if it did.
So they then find, Superman and Batman find a base that has the information that they need. Power Girl is sent off to do something else, which we find out what she's doing later. There is, at this point, there's a mention of the Japanese kid or something in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Before Batman and Superman can get into the base, though, they're attacked by Hawkman and Captain Marvel.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, that was surprising.
Which, so we don't actually... I don't think we see the end of this fight.
It's a bit weird. It felt like it had been bolted on. But yeah.
Because what actually happens is they have this fight which, amongst other things, Captain Marvel seems to be the smartest superhero of the bunch.
Yeah, which is weird, but hey.
In that he actually sets a trap for Batman. He actually is able to taunt Superman and go, you're not very good against magic, are you? Then that disappears off screen and we don't see the resolution of that, though apparently Power Girl comes in, which we don't see.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Amanda Waller goes to check on Lex. finds them roided out.
Yeah.
And then it gets a little bit sexual assaulty.
Well, yeah. A little
bit. It gets incredibly sexually assaulty.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. I mean, like, it was very uncomfortable, and I'm not really sure why they needed to do this. And, you know, it gives me no huge joy to know that this is that he carries on directing films, but maybe he gets better.
Yeah, because, Lex forcibly kisses Amanda Waller, which, why this didn't result in Amanda Waller curb-stomping him is beyond me.
Well, he is roided up, so...
I suppose, but I was sitting there going, if there's one thing... Well, at very least, I would expect her to hit him. even if he's roided out. But anyway, Captain Marvel...
I know, I actually did expect her to. Hopefully she'll set the Suicide Squad on him.
Maybe. So, meanwhile, Captain Marvel and Hawkman appear. And it becomes clear why it was those two heroes. Because they're the two that most resemble... Well, one of them resembles Superman the most in silhouette.
Yeah.
Because apparently Batman and Superman stole Marvel and Hawkman's gear.
So yeah, which is funny.
Are those two just sitting naked? Beaten up?
Maybe. Just hanging out?
Yeah, so as this happens, so you get the two of them appear in silhouette, and then they try and interrogate Luthor, at which point it becomes clear that the kryptonite is so Superman can't stand near to Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing that's interesting, in this version of the story, it seems to be that kryptonite... damages Superman, but not to the point of, say, for instance, like the animated series where he's virtually crippled by it. It's more just a sort of everything's woozy and he doesn't feel right, but he can he's still got like super strength and he can still mostly fly.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of
slightly weaker than we used to.
Yeah.
But that's kind of doubt him early on and sort of says, is it affecting your mind? And he's like, I don't think so.
Yep.
Which is cute.
At this point, Lex destroys the data. However, before we can get the boss fight, Amanda Waller comes in and goes, it's fine, I kept a copy of the data. Here you go. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to arrest the president now. Yes, because the president committed sexual assault, which the president would never do.
Why would we ever consider that?
No president would ever do it.
And certainly not brag about grabbing people by whatever.
No, it would never happen.
That's ridiculous. However, before Amanda can arrest Luthor, he injects yet more steroids, runs past them, and grabs his power suit. Meanwhile, Superman and Batman fly over to Japan to speak to Toymaker.
Yeah.
Who is, in this version, is a Japanese kid who is incredibly intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
He is, however, a teenage boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said
looks like come from some anime.
Boom window to speak to him.
Well, because if you're going to speak to a nerdy boy, I guess that's what you turn, but it doesn't give a good. Yeah, it's.
But the sound of it, she broke his X-ray spectacles.
But also, you know, like if they had like Dick Grayson on the team, for example, a noted friend of Batman, he could have gone talk to Geeky Boy. Would have been fine. Wouldn't have the dodginess. No, don't have Dick Grayson in your film. Why would you do that?
No, but if we have Power Girl, we can get the joke of, does it work? Does Power Girl have big
Yeah, great joke. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Toyman has made a rocket based on one of his old designs when he had a superhero kick. So he's made a Superman Batman rocket.
Of course he has.
And he also says, I kept the original design, so even though I can fly it automatically, it also has manual controls.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you can always say, so audience, it has manual controls.
Guess what's going to happen?
Guess what's going to... Because a wild Lex Luthor appears. After easily jobbing out Power Girl.
Yeah.
So, Lex and Lex fights Superman and Batman. He's able to destroy Toyman's controls. To which Batman goes, oh wait, I actually can justify the self-sacrifice routine now. Because it does make sense. Because the other two, the other three options are someone who's mentally unstable, a 13-year-old boy, and someone who will definitely pass out before the rocket gets to the meteor.
Yes.
So it does actually make sense of, no, it does need to be Batman that flies this rocket.
It does.
So he flies off, which gives Superman the motivation because his friend has just committed suicide because of Lex.
Yeah.
So Superman and Lex Luthor battle. At one point, Lex pukes blood. Which isn't
helpful. To show how healthy he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Superman is able to break apart Lex's bodysuit whilst they're fighting all the way to Japan, all the way back to America. So apparently, they're able to fly from Japan to America in a matter of minutes.
Mm.
Which, okay. And Superman is about to kill Lex. And he's going to do it. He's fully geared up. And then the explosion happens as Batman punches the meteor with a rocket.
Yeah. Batman, no anger issues.
But no anger works. Issues. No, excuse me whilst I go punch this meteor. Hey, yeah. At least this movie, at no point did we see flying pearls.
Yes, thank God.
There's absolutely no mention of Crime Alley. There's no mention of my parents. It's just... Yeah. As I said, there is this degree of... Yeah, it's Batman and Superman. Cop it. So... Toyman apparently tells Power Girl... There is a chance. And he goes off to fly. Meanwhile, Atom arrests Lex Luthor. Because Atom's back and he's better. Superman flies up and he finds Batman in a safety cell. Hello?
Well, I mean, that's why... Yeah, no, I'd keep him in a safety cell as well, blimey.
Yep. Which means that Batman and Superman win. And Batman didn't sacrifice himself.
For once.
Yeah. Meanwhile... Lex Luthor is put in the back of a van. He seems to be a little bit incredibly addled.
Mm-hmm.
And we end the film with a cameo by Lois Lane.
Yeah, which is great.
Who has no dialogue in this film.
So she's kind of pointless. But hey, look, she got to make an appearance.
Hooray!
Hooray.
So, that's the end of the film. I believe that this is... Of the actual films, this is the shortest one we've had so far.
Yeah, it's really short. It's literally just over an hour.
I mean, it does get quite a lot done, to be fair.
Yeah.
There's a couple of incredibly vibrant red flags for the future. This is the guy directing a lot of stuff, but other than that, it's good.
It's fine. It does just feel like a long episode of something, and like there's a lot of things just thrown at it, which may have come across.
Yeah.
There's a lot, you know, a lot of characters in it that literally just show up and do something and then go away.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure is the best thing. It's clearly not the worst thing ever, but yeah, I'm kind of, I don't know how to feel about it. I didn't love it.
So, unlike Green Lantern and Wonder Woman, this does actually get a sequel.
Of course.
Which we'll be covering at some point in the future. Now, it's called Superman Batman Apocalypse, I think.
Uh-huh.
And which is a bit of a misnomer, because it's not actually a Superman Batman film, it's actually a Superman Supergirl film. But I'm assuming that they use Batman because Batman, at this point, Supergirl is kind of not as big a draw as Batman, so I suppose that's possibly the reason why. That will also feature Darkseid.
Ooh.
So that's good. Next week, however, so we're almost getting to the kind of the real solid continuity, which is Crisis on Two Earths, which I believe we may have a guest for.
Yes, if we can get the timing sorted out.
Yes. Before that, however, we are going back to video games again with a game which, at the time it was released, could have continued on the Timverse. It then went off and went into its own continuity, but this particular version was written by Paul Dini, so I think it actually does tie in, which is Batman Arkham Asylum.
I've seen a bit of that being played.
Which is definitely the shortest of the Arkham games, which is good. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually quite a big fan of it. I remember playing
it. I know people love it. I've just not played, you know, obviously. Yeah. I haven't played it. I have played some. I've played a little VR game. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I've played some of the Telltale Batman game.
Yeah, and if we had 18 hours, I'd love to do the Telltale games, but the issue is the Telltale games have it's so divergent. There's not, like, a single plot you can follow. I mean, I'll be honest, with the Arkham, if we do any of the Arkham games beyond Asylum, I'll basically have to try and find videos that strip out all of the side missions. Otherwise, they're just going to be too long, because it's like, the first game has only really two major side missions. Mm-hmm. So it's easy enough to kind of skip over those. But like, for instance, in Arkham City, you have to find like 270 odd Riddler trophies.
God's blimey.
Which no one's got time for that.
No one has time for that.
Well, they do if they're playing the game, but
yeah, obviously.
So those are the next two things coming up: Crisis on Two Earth and Batman Arkham Asylum. If you have any feedback you want to leave us, if you have any comments on any films we've covered or any that we're going to cover, please feel free to contact us at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com mm-hmm. or tweet us at dcaupodcast.
Yes, let us know. Let us know your thoughts.
Alternatively, if you have a need to hear our voices anywhere else, we also do all the podcasts. So I also appear on Rise of the Robots, which is a Robot Wars, BattleBots, and now Technogames podcast. We'll just be starting BattleBots by the time this episode comes out, season 2.0. And you also appear on a couple of podcasts?
Mostly just Immortal Iron Fist, Sons of the Dragon at the moment. I did a solo podcast on it, so my own sanity, everyone should go listen to that so I feel popular. But yeah, we've had a bit of a break because with all the COVID stuff, it's been hard to schedule people. So, but I hope we'll get back into it soon. Okay. We're just doing a big run of Power Man and Iron Fist, but I took a break to look at a different random comic.
And I think you've appeared in a few others. So have you appeared in the Moon Knight one that we advertised now and again? As well.
I started off quite involved in the Moon Knight one, but organising times with people mostly in Australia was tricky. But the Moon Knight
crickets.
And doing a Daredevil podcast, and I just did an episode of that with her. She's going through every single issue of Daredevil. I don't remember what it's called though.
Josie's Bar or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been meaning to actually listen to that. I've listened to the first episode, but
it's Josie's Bar podcast,
And she's going like
the issue I did was the introduction of Stiltman.
Right. Oh, okay.
So really old. Yeah.
Yeah. Was this before Daredevil had Kingpin as his main enemy?
This is literally like issue 8 of Daredevil. So really, really old. Yeah.
Is he still yellow at this point?
No, I think the yellow outfit's a separate time. Like, I think it comes in a separate run.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, it's not it's not always linear. But yeah.
Right, okay. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.